Welcome to the You Love and You Learn podcast, the place to learn about all things love, relationships, relationship anxiety, and to deconstruct the one-size-fits-all narrative of what it means to be in a happy relationship. I'm your host, Sarah Yudkin, a relationship anxiety coach who's on a mission to discuss the nuances of love and relationships that I wish someone would have shared with me years ago. My goal with each episode is for you to leave with an expanded definition of love and relationships and with practices to carry with you in your life and relationships on a day-to-day basis. I'm so grateful to have you here. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. So happy to be here with you. And today I want to talk about something that has been coming up in a lot of my coaching sessions lately. It's even coming up in my own mind at times. And I feel like it's something that is so pervasive in our social media culture and just something we're constantly talking about. And that is this notion of healing or trying to get this sense of being healed, fixing something about ourselves. And there can be this expectation that we're going to reach some destination where we just suddenly feel okay and complete and whole, and everything that we want to work on is done. And even this phrase of a healing journey, it's something that I've used before. I used to kind of say, if you're on your healing journey or your relationship anxiety healing journey. But I think that there can be some unintended consequences to this type of expectation, especially for, and I think a lot of people listening to the podcast or anyone that resonates with my work, I feel like a lot of people can resonate with being an achiever, someone who has that perfectionist type personality, the type of person that wants to get it right all the time. This type of journey, trying to fully heal ourselves, can be sometimes a dangerous message. And so I want to explore a little bit more about that today and maybe see if we can look at it in a little bit of a different way that feels more helpful. So first, I just wanted to start it off with what are some of the definitions of what it means to heal? So causing a person, a wound, or an injury to become sound or healthy again, synonyms to make better, to cure, to remedy, coming healthy again, getting better, improving, alleviating distress or anguish, or to correct or put right to an undesirable situation. So in some of the messages, again, of what it means to heal, it's correcting something, treating it, putting it right, remedy. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with some of these things, becoming more healthy, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that the goal, of course, when we're healing is to help our physical or mental health grow and evolve. I think that that's what most people are doing on a healing journey, or if they're in their fitness journey or any type of journey, is essentially this goal to grow or evolve as a person. But what does it mean to even become healthier? Because it can be healthy to experience a wide range of human emotions, right? It can be very healthy to have a spectrum of feelings, of sensations, of experiences in our life. But I think sometimes we have this myth that being healed means that you don't experience that stuff anymore. Or even though we literally know that life is hard and there's going to be hard moments, we somehow think that once we're healed or that once we've fixed something about ourselves, that we won't have as much of a reaction to hard moments, that things are just suddenly good or carefree or easy. So again, it's like intellectually we realize, oh, relationships have hard moments. Life has hard moments. I totally get it. But then we might still feel really frustrated or guilty and let down if we're having these hard moments or having a hard morning or having a hard week or having a hard season even. Maybe it's been a hard 6 months or a hard year and we're beating ourselves up for it because we feel we're behind or we haven't healed enough. So many of my clients really, the reason, like, this was inspired by a lot of recent conversations, and it's not just recent conversations. I've talked about this so much with many of my private clients, group clients, and a lot of people in my community where they'll say things like, I'm so eager to heal myself and make myself feel better, or I thought fixing was what I needed to do to move through this, or I'm still trying to figure things out and then heal them or fix them. A lot of clients have said things like, I've kind of had this trait about myself my whole life where I just constantly am on the move. I'm constantly doing something. I have to get things done. I'm that go-getter. I find a problem and then I fix it. I find the solution. So it's almost part of your identity to fix things, make them better, and not let something necessarily just be, because that might mean, oh, it's going to turn worse or something bad would happen. If I'm not doing something to fix anxiety, for example, that means it will get worse. So these are the types of things that my clients have shared, and I've shared things like this with Nate. Oh, I just want something to feel better, or I hate that I still get like this. So you're not alone. Please know that this is a very common experience to have, and that's why I want to talk more about it. I think what is interesting is that I have found that, of course, healing or growing and learning about ourselves can be such a positive experience. But if we are having to fix something about ourselves and heal it from a place of shame or judgment towards ourselves, the feelings that can come up because of that can be things like feeling overwhelmed. I have so much to fix about myself. Feelings of inferiority. I'm doing something wrong. Other people have an easier time than me. They're healed, or they get it and I don't get it. We can feel weak. Like, what am I missing? Why can't I just figure this out? I can't handle these big feelings and other people can. So they're strong and I'm weak, which can then lead to feelings of envy or jealousy. We can also feel a lot of pressure on ourselves. This needs to happen, and then it can add a lot of stress. And then it can also lead to feeling withdrawn and just like shut down, because what's the point? I feel like I've tried so many things to fix myself or to get better, and it doesn't seem to be working. And then we can almost feel this sense of just exhaustion, withdrawing, shutting down. And I really just want to give you a big virtual hug if you're feeling any of these things because you've been trying to heal or fix something about yourself. And I'll talk a little bit later in the episode about new ways of thinking about growth that feel a little bit more helpful. But as you listen to what I just shared, can you see how that could be an exhausting cycle to get into when it feels like there's all these things wrong with you, and then it becomes this big loop of trying to fix and figure them all out, right? The core beliefs that can actually lead to us wanting to heal or fix ourselves can be things like, I am not doing something right. Or put in another way, I am doing something wrong if I don't fix this or heal this. I'm not good enough, or am I good enough? So that deep sense of, I'm not good enough, something's wrong with me, I need to make it better. I can't mess up, or I can't do something that isn't right or normal. And that one's kind of a repeat, but some of these core beliefs are really important to understand. These are things that are really driving us to want to fix something because we feel something is broken within us internally, or that everyone else knows something that we don't, or that there must be a better way to be human and go through life. Now, again, I just want to reiterate that I've had my own challenges with this too, thinking that I should be farther along in my life, or that I should be farther along in knowing how to respond to anxious moments, thinking that because I've learned something once that it won't ever affect me again, resisting uncomfortable feelings or sensations. So you're in good company if you can resonate with doing any of those things, judging yourself, wishing you were not showing up in a certain way, and feeling overwhelmed if you have uncomfortable feelings. And I think that this is really teaching us something about ourselves, but it doesn't help if we are just trying to rush through the process and fix, fix, fix. And I really think it's because most of us have never been taught how to do anything else, right? So if you think about it, there are so many diagnoses and disorders that we have. Generalized anxiety disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder. There's a lot of labels on experiences, and it can make us again feel like there's something to fix or cure because there's a disorder, something's out of order, it's wrong, it's bad. And a lot of, I've done this too before, but there's a lot of on social media narratives of, okay, here are the 5 things I've done to feel less anxious, or the 3 steps to responding to a moment of anxiety. And those are great and helpful tips sometimes. But again, it shows us this story of something's wrong when you feel this way. And so here's how to fix it or move through it. So what I wish someone had told me, and honestly, sometimes I still need reminders for these things, is that it's not about going from broken to fixed or healed. We're not broken. You're not broken. I'm not broken. We aren't a china glass that is broken and needs to be fixed and glued back together. Another thing I wish someone had told me was it's not about going from uncertain to 100% certain. I think this 100% certainty, I need to know exactly what's going on. I need to be 100% sure about my decision. I need to be 100% certain what's going to happen in my life. It's this false sense of wanting control over something. And so I think even when it comes to, you know, navigating relationship anxiety, there's this assumption that we're going to have this big epiphany. And I wish someone had told me it's not necessarily about having a big light bulb epiphany and then you never have doubts ever again. It's about having moments of doubt and then coming back to moments of clarity and trust. And then if there's another doubt or you ebb back into doubts or frustration, it's about then flowing back into trust and connection again, right? I still have doubts, but I respond to them so much differently. And I know that the doubts are usually showing up in moments of fear. Can I really do this? Or can a relationship really be happy for 30 years when sometimes there's moments of fear that come up even in only 7 years of us being together? The doubt is something that I'm able to give myself a lot of compassion for instead of judging it and trying to make sure I never have a moment of doubt again. And so I've, you know, had to realize, and again, I wish someone had told me this, if you're prone to overthinking or questioning things and wanting to really seek understanding for things, it makes sense that there will be doubts that show up. I wish someone had also told me it's not about going from having anxiety to being fully peaceful and calm all the time. I think that was maybe an unfair expectation I used to place on myself, that once I understood more about anxiety and how to respond to it, that I would suddenly just feel peace and calm all the time. No, there's still moments of anxiety that pop up, and not just in my relationship, all areas of life. So some of these reminders I just think are so important, because if we think it is about crossing some finish line where we are fully fixed, we are 100% certain, we are fully peaceful all the time, we never have a doubt again, where something fully goes away, where we've passed some test, then anytime that we haven't done those things, we're going to feel like we've failed in some way. And this isn't about succeeding or failing. This is about living. There is no one right path or choice. You don't pass the test if you choose to stay in your relationship, or you don't fail if you choose to go. You don't fail if you choose to stay. You don't succeed if you choose to go. There is no right answer. There's only an answer that works for you, and then you learn from the decisions you make. So really, I think what's important here is that we think of life as this big invitation to continue exploring, to continue understanding ourselves, to continue seeing what we're afraid of and seeing if we can respond to those fears in a loving way, to see what patterns come up as we navigate different seasons of our life, to see how we can create a loving relationship with ourselves and with other people. It's all just an invitation that's there, but sometimes this whole notion of healing and fixing, it seems we have to be doing all these things in our life in order to get it right, and it's just not true. I think that I can speak for not only myself, but hopefully a lot of people when I assume and say that it feels really good to be validated. If someone told you, hey, I'm feeling really anxious and upset, or I feel really far behind, or I feel like there's so much to fix about myself, you wouldn't want somebody to necessarily respond saying, just suck it up, just figure it out, you know, stop being such a baby, go fix it, go do it. And yet that's what we say to ourselves so often indirectly when we're trying to go on a healing journey and get all these things figured out. The way that it can feel really loving and supportive when someone responds to us, if we went to them in that moment, might be, wow, that does sound really challenging, but I'm here to support you. And that's exactly how we can show up for ourselves, acknowledging and honoring that we're in an uncomfortable moment, or that we're in an uncomfortable phase, or we're growing through something that feels really hard, but still knowing that we're there to support ourselves and that there is no rush, and that we're learning things along the way. So if we can validate and support ourselves in this journey of what it means to be human, then we will show up for ourselves in a much more kind and curious and compassionate way versus feeling like we have to get it right all the time. Now, please know that the message that I am trying to say here is not that you should just put your head in the sand and stop trying to grow or stop trying to learn and that you might as well just stop trying to heal or do anything altogether. It's not about that. It's all about the intention we have behind it. And I really do believe that one of the superpowers of being human is our capacity to evolve. So it's not about saying, hey, I'm stuck where I'm at. I should never try to grow. It's just about checking in with the intention we have behind it. Do we think of healing as trying to make everything shiny and perfect within us? Or do we think of healing and what that represents to us as an opportunity to continue learning how to relate to ourselves with more love and more kindness? Do we think of healing as something that's hopeful and optimistic, or as something where we have to rush and figure it out? And if we're not going fast enough, then it adds all this pressure. So it's just about simply stepping back and acknowledging if our expectations to heal or fix are coming from an unhelpful place, a place of pressure and a place of judgment, or if they are coming from a place of love and wow, like what can I learn about myself? How can I discover more even though there's uncomfortable moments? Even though I might not love how this feels, can I still remind myself that it's okay to feel that way? That's important. And when healing becomes a fixation instead of an invitation or an opportunity, I think that's a cue that we may be being a little bit hard on ourselves. So I wanted to read a list of things that I feel are not necessarily things to get fully fixed or solved or healed that maybe sometimes we think should be fixed, healed, or solved. I'm going to read this list, and then I'm going to read a list of things that we can practice and grow at, even though they may not be fully fixed or healed, different ways that we can show up and honor ourselves to learn and grow. So the list of things that will not get fully fixed or healed is 1, feeling uncomfortable feelings, like sadness, grief, irritation, anger, helplessness, fear, and even sometimes uncomfortable feelings like love, joy, and excitement. If we don't have a comfort zone for receiving love or feeling joy because we worry it's going to be taken, then that can be really uncomfortable too. And so part of going on a journey to grow and evolve or heal, whatever you want to call it, is not about never feeling uncomfortable again. And again, I think we intellectually know that, but then when we do feel uncomfortable, we can get really flustered and it feels overwhelming. So I just wanted to remind you that that's not something we're trying to get rid of. It will not necessarily get fully healed or fixed to have moments of disconnection or misunderstanding in relationships. That's not something we're necessarily going to fully fix. Disconnection and misunderstanding in relationships happen. We're coming from two different perspectives. And so again, fully being healed or navigating relationship anxiety or becoming more secure in a relationship doesn't mean that you suddenly just never feel disconnected from your partner or that you never have a misunderstanding. Another thing is that there will still be moments where we're not being fully present every moment of every day, right? So that's not going to get fully fixed or healed. Suddenly, where we're just fully present and everything feels calm and serene, we're always going to have thoughts that either take us backwards into the past or forwards into the future. That is part of being human. Of course, we can learn to respond to those thoughts differently. But I think sometimes we assume that by healing ourselves, we're just going to suddenly be, nothing is going to pop up in our mind versus realizing that no, the mind is constantly throwing thoughts at us and it's how we respond that matters. Having moments where our inner critic is loud and judgmental is not something that will necessarily get fully fixed or solved. It's part of how we operate to have self-judgment sometimes. And so I think, again, we can work on being much more kind and loving to ourselves, but expecting that we're suddenly just going to have moments where we're only loving, only positive, might be setting ourselves up for failure versus realizing that when the inner critic shows up, we can choose how to respond differently. Uncertainty is not something that will get fully fixed, healed, or solved. This is a part of life. And also a part of life is the discomfort that can come from feeling like there is not 100% clarity or answers to a big question. So big questions like, what is my life going to look like? Or is this the right choice? Is this going to be the right job for me? Is this a marriage that could last for the time that I want it to last? Whatever it is, these big questions have a lot of uncertainty in them. And then that can feel really uncomfortable. And instead of trying to fully fix or heal or solve that, it's really important that we acknowledge that uncertainty is a part of life. Another thing that will not get fully fixed, healed, or solved is being an imperfect partner, being an imperfect friend, being an imperfect parent, being an imperfect child, being an imperfect colleague, making mistakes, because we don't have the perfect roadmap. So instead of every time we make a mistake or maybe we disappoint someone, instead of feeling like, wow, I'm not good enough or I need to heal more of myself, realizing that that's going to be part of being human. Another thing that won't get fully fixed, healed, or solved is falling off the wagon sometimes. Sometimes we're going to take space from our routines or habits, even if we know that thing is maybe good for us or nurturing for us. There's going to be times where we don't do the thing that we know is nurturing or supportive. Falling off the wagon is not something we heal or fix and just are perfect every moment of every day. And of course, we can build structures and routines, but giving ourselves grace not to always do them perfectly, so important. Another thing that won't get fully fixed or healed or solved is having challenges and bumps in the road. Again, this one sounds pretty basic, but sometimes I think that we think if we are strong enough or if we just do enough work on ourselves, we're never going to feel like there are hard things. No, of course, there's always going to be hard things. And once we grow or expand, maybe there will be even harder things that we face because that expression, new level, new devil, when we grow and we have the capacity to take on more in our life, there's more challenges that come. So expecting that. Another thing that won't get fully fixed or solved is that life is constantly changing, evolving, and growing and ebbing and flowing. We can't go back to what was. And that's something I think a lot of my clients have expressed. I want to go back to the way it was before I felt anxious, or I want to go back to the way things were before COVID. And instead of resisting that life is constantly changing and evolving and growing, what we can do is honor that and realize that that's not going to change, but we can use the change to set intentions for how we want to move forward. I'm going to share more about like next what we can practice at to be a little bit more open to what it means to be human, but I'm riffing and sharing thoughts as they come up. Because I really do think it's important to talk about these things that we do expect to just go away or suddenly be fixed and healed and really fact check ourselves, realizing, ooh, I think I'm getting stuck again, trying to escape what it means to be human. So a couple more on this list of things that will not get fully fixed or healed. The next one is feeling lonely and like no one fully understands, sees, or gets us in the way we long to be understood and gotten. Of course, there are deep moments of connection, feeling seen, feeling loved, feeling validated, feeling understood, but it's not a permanent state because nobody else is exactly us, exactly in our brain. And there are times where it just feels lonely. And it doesn't mean that someone else needs to rescue us from that loneliness, but loneliness can be a really powerful invitation to connect with ourselves more deeply. But also sometimes it's okay to just simply feel lonely. We don't have to fix that always or make it go away or distract ourselves. And the last thing that will not necessarily get fully fixed or healed or solved is the opportunities for comparison, FOMO, and seeing potential ways for the grass to be greener and how you could live your life differently. It's how we're wired to compare, to look around at what other people are doing. And of course, we can change how we respond to that. But assuming that there's going to be this magical day where we just never notice what other people are doing or never see other options out there, that is setting ourselves up for failure. So when we accept some of these things that are not necessarily going to be fixed or healed or solved, and we can come to terms with those things, and again, these are things I have to remind myself of, we can be in a little bit more of an open-minded and open-hearted place to practice and grow in other ways. So even if something might never be fully fixed, we can choose how to respond to it in a way that feels more helpful. So instead of feeling like we have to fix and get rid of our uncomfortable feelings all the time, what we can practice doing is not letting uncomfortable feelings turn into an anxious spiral and a story that it must mean something bad. Now, if you do have an anxious spiral, of course that's okay. Again, all of this is part of being human. But instead of feeling like every uncomfortable feeling needs to be gone, we can honor them and we can just know that it's part of the ride. It's part of what it means to live this life. Instead of moments of disconnection or misunderstanding being something we have to fully fix or resolve and make sure that we never feel disconnected or have a misunderstanding again, we can practice and grow at reconnecting to ourselves even when moments of disconnection feel painful. So helping validate ourselves and honor ourselves. And also we can practice repairing and reconnecting to other people, even though we might have wanted to shut down or lash out, or even if we did shut down and lash out, it's all okay. But having moments of disconnection offers us an invitation to learn how to repair, learn how to reconnect. So often moments of disconnection, even if they feel really painful, they can actually be really powerful opportunities to then reconnect back into the relationship and reconnect back to ourselves. Now, instead of wanting to be fully present every moment of every day, what we can grow at is just simply starting to notice when we're distracted, notice when we feel like we have slipped out of the present moment, notice when we're stuck in something in the past or getting caught up in future thinking, and lovingly guide ourselves back to the present moment. So it's not about being present 24/7. It's about honoring when we are slipping out of being present and just practicing coming back to it. And eventually that practice might not feel so challenging, but there's probably always going to be some days or weeks where you're more distracted and there can be other opportunities where you are more connected to the present moment. It's not about perfection here. Instead of trying to fix our inner critic or fix ever judging ourselves, we can just simply practice growing a loving, wise inner voice that responds with compassion when the inner critic shows up. So instead of, oh, I'm being so self-critical again, that loving inner voice could be like, oh, yep, I know this pattern. It's familiar. It's okay. And reminding yourself of a more loving perspective that's also true. It's okay to have these big feelings. You can handle them. You've handled them before. So it's not, again, about getting rid of that inner critic. It's about also cultivating that loving voice. Instead of trying to get rid of all uncertainty and all of the doubts or questions to try and have 100% clarity, we can grow or strengthen the trust in ourselves and the trust that we can handle what happens and trusting in not needing certainty. We can switch looking for certainty with curiosity. Oh, I'm curious what's going to happen, or I'm curious why this is so important for me to figure out. It can be an opportunity to switch to a more open and exploratory type of energy instead of certainty, which is very rigid and strict. I need to know, I need to be safe, I need to figure it out type thing. So this is, again, a practice, knowing that uncertainty is going to be part of life. And then how can we strengthen trusting ourselves to be able to handle whatever uncertainty brings? Instead of trying to get rid of being an imperfect partner, friend, parent, child, colleague, and making all of mistakes a bad thing, instead of, oh, I need to get it right, I need to make sure this is all good, what we can do is practice seeing our and everyone else's imperfections and uniqueness as a gift. To practice empathy and tolerance for other people and ourselves, realizing that everybody makes mistakes, that we make mistakes, and seeing it as actually something that connects people together and something that is really a shared experience is just kind of fumbling through life and trying our best. Instead of trying to eliminate falling off the wagon, instead of trying to just constantly be perfect at our routines, we can pick ourselves back up and not necessarily need to be perfect all the time. We can acknowledge I'm off of my routine and simply take one small step towards reconnecting back to that habit or that practice, knowing that we're always doing our best. You know, I was doing a breathing exercise most mornings earlier in the month, and that felt really nice. But then I just stopped and maybe I would like to get back into it again. That would be cool. And not necessarily having a whole story about what it means about why we stopped, but just practicing starting again. A simple one-day routine. It doesn't have to be, I'm going to do it now for 21 days straight. I'm just going to try it for one day. And then tomorrow I'll try it for another day. Instead of trying to get rid of challenges or bumps in the road or heal or fix any challenges or bumps in the road, what we can do is practice accepting and surrendering that challenges are there. We can practice acknowledging that they're opportunities for growth, even though they feel sometimes like a burden, and being really gentle with ourselves that it's okay if this feels really hard. It's okay if I don't like it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's always going to be this way. So again, it's about having that hopeful approach versus I have to fix this, I have to get through it, knowing that usually there is a lot of growth and wisdom that can come from challenges and bumps in the road. Instead of trying to fully fix or solve for the constant ebbs, flows, changes in life and trying to go maybe back to what something was, trying to go back to the old way of doing things, resisting that change, we can practice learning from what happens now in the present moment. We can practice learning from what has happened instead of what we think should have been. And we can also intentionally decide to create what could be in the future. So this is, I think, the fun part of healing or growth is by setting a vision and continuing to practice and show up for that, even though it might not be perfect, but continuing to honor what could be in the future and honor what is in the present versus wanting to go back to the way something was. We always get to help shape what can be. Instead of trying to fix loneliness or trying to always feel like we're seen and understood by people, which can feel sometimes frustrating, what we can practice and grow at is validating and understanding and honoring ourselves and giving ourselves what we crave so deeply from other people. If we're feeling we just want some love and reassurance, how awesome would it be to practice and strengthen giving that to ourselves while knowing that, of course, we're relational beings. It's important to receive that from other people too. But what a gift it is to be able to practice also giving it to ourselves. And then lastly, instead of trying to fully fix or heal or solve for comparison and FOMO and grass is greener mentality, just remembering that that's part of being human, giving ourselves compassion for it, and then giving ourselves the opportunity to water our own grass and remind ourselves that we don't always know what it's like to walk in somebody else's shoes. While at the same time, I'll just say it again, being very kind to ourselves for comparing. So it's not about, oh, I compare it again. Now I need to practice gratitude. Ugh, like I need to fix this. It's more so, all right, yep, comparison. That's a normal part of being human. And how can I also practice showing up for myself, watering my own grass? So all of these things are ways that we can try to show up for ourselves in the quote, quote, healing journey from a helpful and mindful way. It's not about eliminating all of these bad things and then trying to make good things. It's about finding practices and approaches that feel helpful, that feel loving, and are a gift to ourselves versus trying to take something away. So if you're listening to this and you do tend to get stuck in fix-it mode and you do tend to want discomfort to go away, please just know you're not alone. I'll say that again. And you're not doing something wrong or bad. It's what feels familiar. It's what feels safe to try and fix, to try and find a solution, to try to achieve. It's what's worked for you for so long. And it's simply a pattern, but patterns can change and evolve. And if your pattern is feeling uncomfortable and wanting to fix or heal or make things go away about yourself, and you want to practice showing up in different ways, then a few things to consider. One is that we can widen the tolerance for feeling uncomfortable feelings before we try to fix them. So maybe you're used to feeling anxious and immediately going to Google something, or immediately trying to make the feelings go away, or immediately going to distract yourself with something. Maybe as you observe that pattern in yourself, you realize that as soon as there's discomfort at the grocery store line because you feel bored, within 10 seconds, you grab your phone. As soon as you are out for a walk and you're not distracted by something you're seeing, you want to grab your phone. As soon as you're snuggled up next to your partner and you feel any sort of sensation come up, you tend to want to pull away right away. And what we can practice is, maybe let's say you tend to want to react and fix and heal or solve for an uncomfortable feeling in the first minute or so after it happens. We can practice slowly widening our tolerance for feeling uncomfortable feelings. So maybe you grab your phone a minute after feeling uncomfortable, but then you slowly set the intention for yourself, I'm going to practice not checking my phone in the grocery store line for at least a couple of minutes. I'm going to really try to just be present here for a second. I'm going to take 5 intentional breaths before I check my phone. That would even be a difference probably from what you're used to doing. And what used to be a reaction that takes 1 minute might eventually become 2, might eventually become 5. And then that eventually becomes 10 or 20. And you're able to sit down for a 20-minute meditation where, yes, you have thoughts and feelings coming up, but you're able to slowly guide yourself back to that moment. And so this isn't about perfection, but it can be something where we practice widening the tolerance for all this discomfort so that we feel less and less we have to make the discomfort go away and we know that we can handle it. So that's one practice that you could try. There's another practice where you can think about literally and metaphorically welcoming discomfort to you. So in a literal sense, you can almost breathe in discomfort, but metaphorically, you can breathe it in through the energy of, I'm welcoming you, discomfort. You can have that narrative in that moment. Because so often, I think we're trying to, what's the word I'm looking for? What's the opposite of welcome? Shut out, get rid of, close the door on the discomfort. That's what we're doing. And it's happening at a subconscious level. But when we can pause and actually consciously welcome it, through a literal breath or energetically by saying, it's safe to feel uncomfortable right now, I can handle this, it just gives us an opportunity to pause and slow down. Another additional to this, it's very simple, would just simply be labeling, I am feeling uncomfortable, and putting a loving hand on the heart or the body somewhere, your stomach, giving a little mini hug on your shoulders, resting your hands on a leg, whatever it is, just to acknowledge, I feel uncomfortable. But then still choosing to welcome it and breathe it in. And this can be a practice that you just start out for 60 minutes at a time. It doesn't have to be this whole 30-minute exercise, right? Starting really small. Another subtle thing that you can add on to this, and any of these can be combined, is somatic processing. So describing the sensations that are coming up. I've talked about this with a couple of guests on the podcast before. I believe Robert James, and then Rebecca Orr both gave examples of this type of practice where you pause and you label, what are the sensations that I'm feeling? Where do I feel it? Do they feel like they're moving? Do they feel like they're just sitting there? Do they feel light, heavy? Taking time to slow down and describe what sensations you're feeling without judging them. That's the key piece here, without judging them. And then lastly, another thing you can practice if you constantly find yourself wanting to fix or heal is noticing the ways that these patterns show up in your life in other areas outside of relationships. So I think sometimes we feel, oh man, my relationship, I really get anxious, or there's times where I feel so overwhelmed and it's just because of my relationship or just because of my partner triggering me or just because of the one thing my friend said. But when we really notice, there's probably other areas in our life where we feel uncomfortable. A moment at work where we felt put on the spot, or a moment where someone didn't call us back and we wondered what that meant. There can be other things in our life, other ways that discomfort can show up, like being bored at the grocery store. And I think that this can help us just, again, bring compassion and remind ourselves that this is part of the human experience and that there are sometimes just going to be moments of discomfort. And it's about learning how to respond to those mindfully and compassionately, not judging the fact that we are having discomfort and not trying to judge the fact that we want to initially fix it, but giving ourselves a chance to practice welcoming it and making room for it so that we don't feel like every single experience we have has to be fixed and pure and clean. So thank you for exploring this topic with me today. It felt important for me to talk about just because I do think on social media there can just be these picture-perfect videos of a healing journey and here's how to heal this, here's how to heal that. And if we're not careful, that message can become a lot of pressure and it can be overwhelming and feeling like you have to, again, fix something about yourself in order to enjoy your life. And I'm just here to remind you that that's not truth and that there is absolutely a way to grow and evolve without feeling there is something wrong or broken with you to begin with. Thank you again so much for listening. If you love these types of conversations on the podcast, I would love for you to join the You Love and You Learn Patreon community. I do monthly live Q&A calls where I can answer your questions. You asked a question around like, oh, I feel like I'm constantly behind when I compare myself to people on social media. This would have been, you know, I would have probably not answered it for 45 minutes like I did in this episode, but I give answers to the questions coming from the group members to make sure that you have insight and reframes and tools that you can use to help support you on your journey. So there are already multiple Q&A recordings in the platform. There is access to my 4 webinars and my webinar library when you join. There is weekly community discussions, and you're alongside other like-minded people who are learning to show up more lovingly and compassionately for themselves on their journey. So feel free to join. The link is in the show notes to join for just $7 a month. And I hope to see you inside. Thank you so much for listening and see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to the You Love and You Learn podcast. If you've been enjoying the podcast, it would mean the absolute world to me if you could rate and review the podcast, because the more ratings and reviews there are, the more people that can hear this message. And it's really important to me to get this message out to the world and to create a space where people can learn about love and relationships in a way that is not judgmental, in a way that helps them expand their perspective from the cultural narratives that we've heard and seen in the movies and in Hollywood and the media. And the more ratings and reviews that are there, the more people that can hear this message. So thank you again so much. It really means the world to me that you are listening, and see you in the next episode.